This podcast is brought to you by Epicorp Profit 21 ERP. Purpose built for distributors. In sports, the best teams don't chase the scoreboard. They set the pace. And in distribution, pace matters. 60% of top distributors run on Epicorp Profit 21 ERP. It's ERP purpose built for distribution, enhanced with agentic AI that doesn't just inform, but acts. Optimizing inventory, streamlining purchasing, and making every day easier. Don't play catch up. Visit epicorp.com/win.
When the world is calling, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, including Montreal, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, travel from Columbus is closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
The Burt Show.
So this Florida man found $20,000 in cash, in crisp $100 bills by a Florida mall, and then spent hours trying to decide what he was going to do with it before he decided to turn it into the authorities. Now, before I speak about what happened once he made that decision, I'm curious. If we go around a room and we're going to be completely honest, took some truth serum, got to tell the truth. You find $20,000 by the mall, seems to be undetected, doesn't seem as if anybody knows you have it. What are you doing?
It was found in Florida.
It's found in Florida.
I ain't touching it.
Leave the money there?
I am not dealing with another Florida man. Do you know where in Florida it was?
No, it just says by the Florida Mall.
Yeah.
I don't know which one.
It might change my opinion depending on what city. There are some cities I can fight in better than others. Miami-Dade, I'm running.
You ain't touching it.
Jacksonville, I'll hold my own.
Okay.
Tampa, I got you.
$20,000. Honestly, and this is not going to be like a yes or no, so sorry, I'm going to make it complicated, as I always do. Mm-hmm. Extra and complicated are my middle names. If I was in dire straits, like if I needed the money to feed my kids, to pay rent, like I would consider this a blessing of some sort. If I had other people relying on me to provide for them and I was falling short, I might snag that cash.
Okay. Now, while y'all are not making it easy and are complicating it, for me, this is no, in this economy, I'm looking up and going, I knew you ain't forget about me, God. I knew it. I'm keeping this money unless I hear that I shouldn't for any other reason. Now, in this case, in today's no good deed goes unpunished story, this gentleman's name is Benjamin Feliciano, and he decided after hours of thinking what he should do, to take the money to the authorities. He actually turned the money in. The police were very surprised that he turned the money in. They asked him a few questions, and in questioning him, they learned that he has to walk to work every day, and his job is to hold up signs all day, so he's normally tired from having to do both. And so the police thought they would reward him for bringing in $20,000 in cash.
With a brand new car!
Nope! A bicycle.
You're kidding.
They gave him a bicycle.
Is it a nice bicycle, at least?
It don't have pegs on it. It's not like it's a regular schmegular bicycle.
A regular schmegular. I will say the reward doesn't feel congruent to the act. Like, I feel like maybe he should have gotten a cut. But like 10%.
But it's not, the police don't have the funds to like reward somebody like that.
Yeah, it's not their money, and the police can't like legally take any of that money to give away. It's like that money belongs to somebody. So honestly, he's owed nothing for doing a good deed, but it's nice that he got the bicycle. I'm not touching it because I assume it's from a drug cartel and somebody lost it and they're going to hunt me down.
How are they going to find you?
That's what I would be afraid
Cameras,
of.
Cameras, like people can find people, and I'm not messing like with a cartel that's lost 20K, like unless I have to feed my kids. But like, yeah, anyway, back to the other story. Like he didn't have to get anything for turning in that cash. So I think it's nice that they did something good for him.
That's what he felt. He said it's not about the money. It's just, I believe in doing the right thing, and that is more rewarding. And he said that his conscience is clear and he can live with that. And when I heard him say that, that made me feel like he found $100,000 and only gave in $20.
All right, here's another question for you. It is a cute story, but if you put yourself in the son's shoes, would this not be quote unquote cool? So a mom and son in Texas were in the same graduating class. So Kyle and Brandy Fields both earned graduate degrees from TCU in Fort Worth, all right? And this is the mom talking about her graduating with her son.
I'm feeling excited, a little bit nervous. So it's been fun to attend tailgates with him, to see him in action at his sporting events. All the stars aligned perfectly. The first for us and our family, you know, graduate degrees, mother, son. It was pretty fun for him to say, hey, I got us matching shoes for us to wear to our graduation ceremony. And I was like, wow, I'm not too old to wear these, but okay, if you think I can rock it, we'll try it.
So it's obvious that he was totally on board and cool with the idea of going to college with moms and even got them matching shoes to wear to graduation. Super, super cute, right? But it made me wonder, would you have that same reaction? Because for a lot of us, going to college was time to like spread our wings and be by ourselves and, you know, do our own thing and, you know, forge your own way. And I don't know how I would feel having to experience college and share that experience with a parent.
This does feel a little bit like an enmeshed relationship. Like it does feel like there are maybe some emotional boundaries being crossed. But I think the one difference here that makes it, I think, a little bit more okay, even though I do think it's a little weird, is I'm reading here that this is for a graduate degree. So I guess this would be between the ages of like 22 to 24 or something around that. Mm. And by that point, like you're a broke college kid. And if I got mom and mom's credit card funding my tailgates, that's not too big of a cost to like trade some time for her for a little extra support for her to hang out with me.
So because he got to experience undergrad on his own, it's not so bad that, you know, he shared the graduate experience with his mom.
Yeah, he spread his wings. He did the whole 18 to 22 year old thing. And then by that point, like, it's just such a different experience. Like by the time you're a senior, you look around, you go, gosh, I'm so old. And you have no idea how young you are because you feel like so decrepit because you're the oldest person on campus. But then, you know, you start to feel like an adult, and you start spreading your wings in different ways. And I think your relationship with your parents changed. So I think it's a little bit less weird considering it's the graduate degree.
I agree. I do think it's a little bit less weird being that it's the graduate degree. And I think if I'm looking at it from the standpoint of the age that I am today, I think it's wonderful. I see nothing wrong with it. I think it's great. But if I go back to my 23, 24-year-old self, I probably would have felt like this is a moment I'm supposed to have on my own and would not have wanted to share with my mom.
I'm wondering how Mo would react when he's at the tailgate and one of these guys slide up to his really good-looking mom and say, what's up, shorty?
It's going to be the end of the graduation. All the festivities are shut down at that point.
Somebody's going to graduate to heaven.
To the gates.
The Burt Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right. Your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so we threw it out there on Friday. Why do we want to talk to you on Monday? And a Burt Show listener had hit us up, which is why we were asking you guys the question, because she was attending her friend's wedding this past weekend, knowing that she and the fiance had a one-night stand. She said it was a mistake. She had regrets. But there was something nagging at her. The way the bride had been wording text messages and emails, that she felt like she might be getting outed at the wedding festivities over the weekend.
Well, one of her friends had said that the bride was planning something at the rehearsal dinner and had a surprise for everybody, which I feel like is just a very ominous thing to drop unless you're going to out your friend for doing something shady before you get married.
Yes, yes and no, because like when you're doing rehearsals and stuff, you have surprises that you have for family and friends.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you could just get really paranoid. Like if you start to think that everything's revolving around what you did.
Well, especially if you know, like in your, like if you're hyper fixated on what you did, that's going to color everything you see and what everybody says and does. Like, oh, they know, when in actuality, it's just because you're festering on it inside your head, right?
100%.
Was it the rehearsal dinner or was it the reception after the wedding?
It was, I think
it was the reception that she was going to, that she was afraid she was going to say something.
I honestly, I don't recall.
Yeah, same thing. Big public outing.
Uh-huh. All right. So, Mo, what's our update?
All right. So, the update is, hi, Bird Show. Thank you again for reading my email last week. I wanted to follow up because it happened. Everything I feared came true, and it was honestly even worse than I imagined. I ended up going to the wedding. I couldn't bring myself to tell Sarah beforehand. I rehearsed what I'd say a dozen times, but I just couldn't do it. Part of me hoped I was being paranoid, that the quote-unquote surprise at the reception was just a slideshow or fireworks or something innocent. The ceremony was beautiful. Sarah looked incredible, and Ryan, well, he looked nervous, but everything went off without a hitch. I tried to stay in the background, but I could feel the tension. Sarah gave me a hug that felt a little too long, like she was sizing me up. Then came the reception. During the speeches, Sarah got up to speak. She started by thanking everyone for coming, then shifted to talking about honesty, love, and betrayal.
Yeah, if you're talking about betrayal at your wedding, as the other shoe's about to drop.
That's when my stomach dropped. She said, and I'll never forget this, marriage is about trust. And before I make that commitment for life, I want to be sure I'm surrounded by people who are honest. Then she turned to Ryan and said, so I want to ask you one more time. Is there anything you want to tell me? He froze. Everyone froze. The silence felt like it lasted forever. And then he said it in front of everyone. He admitted to the one night stand with me.
He can't. He broke. She broke him.
Wow. I would have gave it that Shaggy.
Yeah. It wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
Oh, I forgot to plan the honeymoon.
Gasp. Murmurs. Chaos. Sarah just stood there, calm. It was terrifying. She looked at me, no tears, just disgust, and said, you're not my friend. You never were. Then she walked out. Ryan chased her. I left. I have no idea what's going to happen next. They didn't leave for the honeymoon. I heard from a mutual friend that Sarah is staying with her sister and is getting the marriage annulled.
Why wouldn't she do all this like at the rehearsal dinner and not at the reception and go through with the wedding?
That's kind of how I'm feeling. Like, I'm not saying, obviously, she should have never cheated on, or he should have never cheated on his, on a break girlfriend or fiance or whatever with her. Like, they're not in the right for that.
For sure.
But at the same time, like, this is kind of psycho behavior.
This is
crazy. Just simply cancel the wedding.
She was pushed into psycho, Abby.
Was she?
She didn't choose psycho. Psycho chose her.
Some people need to be pushed into a therapist's office.
Maybe she felt like, maybe he's paying for it. And she felt like, you know what? I'm still going to let you do that. And then ruin it all. As for me, I feel like the worst person in the world.
Yeah.
I lost my best friend.
That's on you.
Ruined what was supposed to be the happiest day of her life. And for what? One night, a terrible selfish decision that I'll never be able to take back. I know I messed up. And if there's anything good to come from this, maybe it's a reminder for anyone listening. Secrets like this don't stay buried forever. And when they come out, it's never clean.
Ooh.
Jess.
I love how she was like, it wasn't even that good. All of 4 minutes for what?
Oh, man, but to have been a guest to a wedding like that, ooh, that lives in infamy, man.
That's the kind of wedding you want to go to.
The Burt Show.
All right, I want to float an idea out there, and I don't know how to make this a reality. I'm not even sure if other moms would be on board. And hey, listen, I had a beautiful Mother's Day yesterday. My husband and my son absolutely knocked it out of the park. I got the Mother's Day of my dreams. I got to spend the day exactly how I wanted to spend it. Didn't have to make one decision. It was glorious. But I talked to so many moms when I went to Jimmy's school on Friday for Mom's Day that their plans on the weekend for Mother's Day, specifically Sunday Mother's Day, they had no control over. Baseball tournaments, graduations, soccer tournaments. And I feel like we need to start a petition to move Mother's Day. I don't think May was the smart choice to have Mother's Day. And I feel like there's so many moms that get the shaft because of graduations, because of recreational sports, that we really need to have a conversation and maybe start a petition that we move Mother's Day just somewhere else in the calendar to where there's not so many conflicts.
Cosign. Yeah. Like, my sister actually couldn't come up for, she came up on the day, but her school gave her an award, which is awesome. She won an award, but it's part of graduation and it had to be that Saturday. And I just sat there thinking, like, I know the school didn't really have a choice because it's graduation week, but who plans something on Mother's Day weekend? And I know Mother's Day is the Sunday, but everyone knows, like, especially when you're an adult child, if you have to travel to see your mom, like, or you have kids of your own and maybe you want to celebrate your mom on the Saturday, so Sunday's yours. Highly, highly co-sign. It should be like in June. What's going on in June?
Father's Day.
Yeah. Like I said, wow. What's going on in June?
Wow.
There should be like a Parents Day. Like, why don't we just have one
hard
big...
No, sorry. I'm going to cut you off. There's no okay. Parents Day.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. They have to be separate. Yeah. No, what, they
gotta
be separate.
When would y'all want to
sorry. I feel so bad, Abby. Please finish your thought.
No.
I'm not sharing the day with him, though.
Nobody wants to hear from me.
What was that, Mo?
When would y'all want to move it?
See, that's a good question.
I feel like anywhere you move August it, there's going to be a reason for it to not be there.
What about July?
No, I think September. I think we can do September.
You got Labor Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You got hurricane season.
I got something that would make it extra special. February 29th. It only happens every 4 years.
Oh, my God.
Just like you getting laid.
Because I have a friend and she's like celebrating her first Mother's Day. And I was so excited. And I was like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm going to a family member's graduation.
Oh, no.
And I was like, that is not right.
What about March? I feel like nothing happens in March.
March could be a good one because then you still got your spring vibes.
Mother's Day, March.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, Abby.
Uh-huh. All right. Let's look up the calendar for next year. I feel like there could be like a little bit of movement behind this. Because again, when I was talking to the other moms in Jimmy's class and I was listening to what everybody's plans were, and then I told them mine, I could see the envy in their eyes. Like, oh, that sounds glorious. And I'm like, I'm really sorry that, you know, you're such a good mom and you have your kids active in all these activities. But
I got
yeah.
a little monkey wrench to throw in your March idea.
Oh, my God.
Every man... Or riot.
Oh.
Basketball.
March Madness.
Yes.
Well, is that the entire month?
Yes.
Yeah pretty much.
That's why they call it March.
Yeah. Madness. Basketball is way more important than the people who are continuing humanity by popping souls out of themselves.
Listen.
That's totally right.
I understand it. As a college basketball fanatic, I purposely schedule my son's birthday super early in the morning as to not interfere with game times.
But we know how.
A lot of moms watch college basketball, Cassie.
What'd you say?
A lot of moms watch college basketball.
Fair. We know how I feel about sports and big events. Okay, let me float this. It's probably the worst month of the year.
January?
Yep. But what happens in January?
Nothing.
It's 17 years long. You just came off mom's like, bam, 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 for Christmas with all the family and cooking. Maybe that could be a good time to have a whole day and something to look forward to that month.
Yeah, sure, if you want to take the spotlight away from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
That's where I was going.
It's not
going
to be.
That's only one weekend, though.
On his day.
I get it. It's one weekend. Y'all going to take the month of January over May with that weather?
Yeah, no, I'm not feeling January for whatever reason.
Dude, May is hard, unless it's late May.
I'm going to say this again. July.
Let's see.
It's warm. It's summer vacation.
I don't hate July. Honestly, that could work as well.
And I like how it's kind of adjacent to June, which is Father's Day. Mm-hmm. Or do you feel some type of way because then Father's Day comes first?
Well, I don't mind Father's Day coming first. But the thing with July is you got the 4th. And then I feel like the second half, like once you hit the 15th, you are some people go back to school at the end of July. So you're really gearing up for back to school. So it's got to be early July. And then you have the 4th. Why is this so hard to find a day to celebrate Mother's?
So what I said, any month we give Mother's, y'all are going to find a reason it doesn't work.
And Cassie is right because you have the 4th at the beginning. And then like, because Jimmy goes back to school August 1st. So that week prior, you're already getting into like back to school mode, right?
I got it. What? I've got it. Father's Day, you move to March. And then if
listen.
Then if your man likes March Madness, you can plan a whole day and leave him alone to watch the March Madness games. Or we could do it on
Fathers are not complaining about Father's Day.
No. But this is what I'm saying, because mothers are going to take the June slot.
I understand that. But fathers don't want to move Father's Day. Why you got to move Father's Day? Father's Day has nothing to do with Mother's Day.
Because you got to give a little so the, like, honestly, we're talking here about women having to juggle like graduation and all this stuff. So this way, the dudes still win. We don't mess with March Madness and the basketball season, but then the moms get a good date.
Well, it always turned into a competition.
It's not a competition. So everyone wins.
I don't feel like we have to mess with both dates. I think we can only mess with one date because messing with both dates makes it more complicated of having to move.
What if we put Mother's Day the weekend before in June?
No.
So then it's Parents Month.
Back to back gifts. Parents Month.
We have come up with nothing.
Yeah, we have literally accomplished nothing.
So. What about early October? What if we did it like Sunday, October 4th?
Oh.
Yeah. Why are we scheduling a federal holiday like it's a brunch date? Are we all free? Noon, October 4th.
And this is what mothers go through when they're trying to like schedule time with their friends. Before you know it, you're in 2027 and that's all you can do.
Yeah, don't forget October's also football season and the men aren't going to be happy about that.
Yeah. You know what? Down with sports.
No. Just kidding. Okay, you are on your own on that one, Cassandra.
The Burt Show.
He decided to see if he's the one who's weird or if it's other people who are weird. And what did you learn, Mikey? Are you weird?
Oh, yeah, I already knew that.
I could have told you that yesterday.
Yeah, but I think they're weird, too. I think we're all weird. I decided to put myself through some exposure therapy. That's what they call it, right?
Yep.
Whenever you do something you're not bad at and you're probably going to fail, but you try it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I go to a bar, I it's hard to put into words what it is whenever I sit next to a person and I want to try to have a conversation like you see in a movie where two guys sit at a bar and just talk about nothing. Except I have this fear that I guess it comes from I think they're just going to hate me and that I'm weird. Like I can't just have a normal conversation with someone. So I decided to try my hand, and my girlfriend went on a bachelorette trip, so I had a free Friday night. I could have reached out to one of my friends, went out with them. Instead, I decided to take a risk, and so I started off at this one bar. It was like a sports bar with wings, and I sat down at the bar. Off the bat, I could tell kind of a tough environment because there was a group of like four guys sitting next to each other. They looked like they just got off the job site. And they had probably been sitting there a long time. Like they already had a what's it called a rapport with the bar. What's that person called?
Bartender.
There you go. Ooh.
Oh man, words are hard, but they're not that hard.
It's a rough morning.
That's the person who tends the bar.
I was about to applaud you for using the word rapport correctly in a sentence, and then you couldn't. You struggled with bartender.
That took the rest of his brain power.
Yeah, I used up all my good words there. Yeah.
That's so funny that you wouldn't. You shelled out rapport like nobody's business, but it was bartender that tripped you.
I know. Wiped my slate clean. They've been sitting there for a while already. I sit down, I say what's up to them. They kind of just ignore me off the bat. And then the bartender walks up to me and takes my order. They all started shouting at her and asking why did they not get the guy that's been sitting there first. So these guys hate me already. So
because you got preferential treatment?
Yes. So I'm
allegedly.
Gonna, yeah. So I think I'm going to count that one as a loss. So I just drank it and got out of there. I didn't try anymore. That one was a loss. The next bar I go to, I walk in. It's like a dingy little Irish pub. And
you're in Midtown again?
No, I'm right around here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There was nobody there was nobody there except for me. There was like two people playing pool way in the back, which is my kind of place. I like that. Two people playing pool, me there and the bartender. I've talked to you guys about this before, but I have a lot of trouble trying to make conversation with the bartender or the waitress. I don't know what to say. So he was cutting up some, what are those things called? Oranges. I'm
good
having
word.
Trouble today.
There you go.
Oranges.
Oh my gosh.
He used the color as a hint.
Yeah. And I asked him, what do you use oranges for other than a blue moon? Basically, I get him to break down.
A salad?
Is that
perhaps?
Bad? Is that bad?
Orange juice?
No, he's not That's making funny. Orange juice
he's,
up there,
he's
though.
Like, you're wondering what the orange garnish, what drink requires an orange garnish?
I was reaching for anything, guys.
Oh,
I needed
that was
something.
A reach. Yep. And by the way, fun fact, Aperol Spritz.
Oh, okay. Well, then he says that. And then I say, well, now what goes into an Aperol Spritz? So I just start digging down.
It's
guy,
in the name.
This guy did not want to have this conversation at all, but he's like, here, aww, let me just make you one. And then I say, no, I don't do liquor. So just completely ruined that. 2 seconds later, a couple walks in, an old couple. They sit down. The bartender says, hey, Jenny. Hey, Jerry. It's Jenny and Jerry. He says, Jerry, what can I get you? Jerry says, give me a shock top, whatever he says. Then Jenny tries to say, I'll take a... The bartender says, no, Jenny, you know that I'm not going to serve you. I told you last time you're not getting served. And she goes, what? Why? What happened? Just like automatically, she's the victim somehow. He said, last time you were in here, you called me a homophobic slur, and I said I was never going to serve you again. So actually, I want both of you out right now.
Wow.
I'm sticking to my word.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, well, geez, now so something's happening. Now so I got a conversation starter.
Yeah.
Well, now you have... Okay, so he kicks Jenny... Or who? Jerry?
Yeah, Jenny and Jerry.
He kicks Jenny and Jerry out.
Yeah, but Jenny's like, what? I don't even... Did I really do that? I didn't know that. She knew what she did.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell they were like... They were trying to feel him out at first. So she knew what she did. They walk out, and then I say to the bartender, I'm like, all right, what happened there? You can stop with the Aperol Spritz. What happened? So he explains to me that she just got hammered one night. He cut her off, and she just started shouting at him. And then...
And said some very unsavory things, it sounds like.
Absolutely. And I didn't really know what to do with that any further, so I just told him, I was with Tom Brady the other day. And then I left pretty soon after that because I ruined the conversation.
You say, like, I'm sorry that happened to you.
No, I told him, well, that sucks. Yeah, good thing. I said, good for you for kicking them out. Good job. And then I kind of ran out of steam.
Tom Brady.
Yeah. I was in the same room as Tom Brady.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Content warning. Kanye West. because his new single is blowing up on Twitter despite the fact that it has been banned from most streaming platforms. And I will tell you the title of said single and you're going to go, ah, that makes sense. So Spotify, SoundCloud, and many other platforms have banned Kanye West's new single titled Hail Hitler, as they obviously should. But it is still available on Twitter, which is shocking that that hasn't been taken down, alas. It's gotten so many streams on there, which is very jarring. And the artwork for the track as well resembles a swastika and has also received millions and millions of views. Kanye West's former friend, John Legend, has come out and said that this is really sad. And it's also sometimes shocking to see what Kanye West has become these days. So there's your latest in what Kanye West is up to. Do not stream his new single if you see it on X, if it hasn't been taken down already yet.
But the fact that it has spread on X, is that telling of that platform?
Ooh.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think they give you a little bit more leniency than the others, and they allow you to get away with things a little longer than the other platforms. And some people like it for that reason, others don't. But Kanye, it just sounds like Kanye's being Kanye again.
I think it's because Twitter kind of thrives off of any kind of speech whatsoever, whereas Instagram and stuff, like as long as those influencer girls are posting their little brand deals, it'll survive. But X, I think it thrives a little bit more on controversy. And speaking of controversy, Morgan Wallen is speaking out about his very abrupt Saturday Night Live exit from a couple of weeks back. If you missed this, Morgan Wallen was the musical guest on Saturday Night Live. And at the end of every Saturday Night Live episode, the host and the musical guest and all the cast members will gather around and kind of say thank you to everyone. And they do this big hoorah and they sort of mingle as the credits roll. And it was very uncomfortable because Morgan Wallen, literally the second he says his goodbyes and he's like, you know, thanks everyone, good night, he immediately walks off set to where Kenan Thompson was kind of like in the back, like, what is going on? This is so weird.
Oh, his face was priceless when Morgan just literally not walking off the side nonchalantly, just right off the front of the stage towards the camera. It was so weird.
Yes, no F's given. He's just like, bye, I'm going to go home. And then he posted that his private jet and he said, get me to God's country, which is now my new favorite joke. Anytime I'm at like cookout or something, I'm like, get me to God's country. Anyway, he went on Caleb Presley's podcast, Sunday Conversation, and he explained why he decided to walk abruptly off the set of SNL.
Could you fix a TV if it was on SNL?
I could change it for sure.
Seriously, SNL, did they make you mad?
No, I was just ready to go home. I've been there all week.
You need to get your plane. Get me to God's country.
Yeah.
He said there's no beef there. He just wanted to go home. He was tired. Been in New York all week. He just wanted to get out.
He's lying.
Yes, he is.
He's definitely lying. I think he would have been better off not saying anything.
Yeah, that was, I don't think that helped the cause. And what was it with the music?
I don't know. You know.
That was very off-putting. I'm like, that was a little hard to follow.
I can't say I'm a consistent Caleb Presley listener.
Yeah, okay.
Unless it's making headlines.
No, he's ready to get home. Literally 30 more seconds, bro. Mm-hmm. 30 more seconds to show your respects and to like thank everybody on that stage for, you know, helping you out that week to make sure you had a good performance. Like that's a BS answer.
Yeah, I feel like he was for sure trying to send a message.
Mm-hmm. But Mo and I aren't the biggest fans, so we're not going to come in with, we don't have a lot of grace, I guess.
I don't, but I don't think I'm biased. I think he made that clear. I think he made his statement very clear the first time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no need to double back.
He's got a song named Somebody's Problem, and he's pretty much everyone's problem at this point. All right, for more stories, head to The Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
How do you truly know the difference between if you are really seeing signs or you are just a little crazy or delusional?
Is it a bird or is it a sign?
That's exactly what it is, right? And I hear this a lot. I've always heard people say, you know, when you experience people, loved ones passing away, that they send you signs from the other side to let you know that, one, that they have made it, and two, to let you know that they are looking over you. That's what people say. And I've had a lot of times in my life where I may have thought, like, that I was getting a sign from when my grandmother died or when my best friend died, but I was always uncertain. And in this case, in the last, two or three months of my life, I've lost three people that I love dearly. And it was rough, right? And I always say like a prayer that's kind of like my closure prayer for like thanking them for their time and their presence in my life. And then I just kind of let it be. And it's been like small things, nothing really major, but small things that have been happening to me in the past few weeks that feel like someone is on the other side getting to work. I don't know if y'all have ever experienced that, where you lose someone you love and then pieces just start being put in place for you to maybe either get to another level in your life or for you to figure out something that has been bothering you and you kind of needed things to happen in order to figure it out. And then it just magically seems like it just starts falling into place. And I was experiencing that. And at first I wasn't thinking much of it. I was just like, okay, I guess sometimes life seems like it's on your side. Sometimes it doesn't. But in this case, the way that things were lining up to answer questions that had been plaguing me for quite some time made me feel like it just feels like there's something else behind this, something magical that's actually working to make all of this come to fruition for me. And I was speaking to my mom about it, and she asked me, have you seen the Cardinal? And my mom is big on this. She's always been big on this, that when someone passes, she believes that you will always have a moment of seeing a Cardinal somewhere in your journey, and that's always been a sign to her that the person is trying to speak directly to you to let you know what you're experiencing is real. I really am here.
It's not even just a your mom thing. Like, that's well known that cardinals are supposed to be like signs from loved ones.
Right. So I learned that from her, and then I was like, you know, mine is kind of funny you say that, because I had heard that before, but it just wasn't at the top of mind. But I started taking these walks every day for gout and just for trying to stay in better shape, getting older, you know, the works. And it's kind of hard to admit that I'm at that point in my life where I have to take walks, but here we are.
Come on, Gramps.
I'm taking daily walks, yo. It's bad out here.
You are you strolling?
I'm strolling.
Yeah.
I'm out there strolling. And at first, the first day I kind of noticed that there was a cardinal, right? And he kind of flies by, and it seems to be right at the point where I'm at this specific place on my walk, right by where it's like this area where people walk their dogs. It's the same exact area. And I've seen this, I don't know if it's the same cardinal, it appears to be, fly around frequently, but for some odd reason, once I started to pay attention to the walk, like, this cardinal stops at the same exact place during my walk every single day. Like, it never fails. It's this black fence, and it's right between where the park starts and where the garden starts for the apartments. And the cardinal would just land there. And I'm telling my mom about it. I was like, Mom, I kind of think I'm crazy. But I promise you, like, ever since I started being conscious of thinking that certain things in my life are happening for a reason, this cardinal will always just stop and then fly away. Stop and then fly away. And she tells me, she's like, take a picture. Just take a picture of the cardinal so that you can have that moment, because you never know. Maybe this cardinal is assuring your message that it's there. So I'm like, all right, I'll take a picture. And then sure enough, the next time that I go out on this walk, I see the cardinal, and he's in like a different place at this point. But I was like, I'm going to wait until I get to that point of where the gate is. And I get to the gate. And then sure enough, I'm like, I'm looking at the gate. And at first, I don't take my phone out because he's not there. But then as I have the thought, the cardinal flies in and lands right on the gate. So I'm like, no way. Like, no way this is happening. So now I'm like, I'm trying to get my phone, right? I'm trying to capture the moment. And because the cardinal was always flying, like, I got to be fast. So when I take my phone out, as soon as I put the phone on him, he like does kind of like a jump. And I'm thinking he's about to fly away, but he doesn't. He turns around, and I swear this sounds crazy, but it was as if he posed. Like, he turned around, because he was facing the other way. And he jumps, and he kind of turns around on the gate to face the camera.
He's like, this is my good side.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, exactly. And then, so I'm like, wait, what? So I ended up taking the picture, and I took two pictures, because you never know, you got to get at least two, right? Uh-huh.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around, and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus, $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Know which one's gonna be the good one.
Yep.
And then as soon as I get that second flash, he kind of like did something with his head and flew away. And I was like, all right, I might be having a moment. I don't know if I'm going crazy, but the way that the bird just literally posed, let me get the two shots, kind of gave me like a head nod and then flew off. And now since that day, I see this cardinal on my walk every single day. And he always flies by that one gate and I just say hello and I keep it moving. But it just felt like so much more than a random moment with a random bird to me.
So if it feels like so much more and that this is a sign from somebody beyond, so what are you taking that as a sign of? Like, what do you think they are trying to tell you or impart on you?
I think I was having doubts about a lot of different things in my life and just trying to figure things out, like, you know, and I just couldn't. For a long time, I couldn't figure out if it was me, if I was tripping, or if I was aligned with the universe and doing exactly what it is I was supposed to be doing. And when a lot of the signs came that showed me I'm not crazy and showed me I'm not tripping, that's when I started to think that it was something from the other side. And then it seems as if right as I had those doubts, that's when the bird started coming in. And I feel like that was whomever it may be, that was their way of telling me, you're not crazy. You are aligned. I'm here for you. I got you. Let's go get it together.
Listen, I'm a big believer in signs. I may be having a crisis about religion specifically, but I do not doubt that there is something out there and helping us give signs, because I've had similar experiences too. But I guarantee you in your DMs, you're going to get some people saying they're signs, and there's some people saying, no, the birds are part of the government. Like, birds aren't real. They're just spying on you, Mo.
Facts.
Hey, The Bird Show.
The youth group put the pressure on to get Abby to come out to their trivia night. They go to trivia night every Thursday night. And this time they tried to lure Abby with a man.
They didn't just lure me. They held me at like emotional gunpoint, except the gun in this scenario is a man. So the youth group, which consists of Rebecca, our social media producer, Jackson, who does something back there, I don't know, Mikey, who also does something that I'm unaware of, Katie, who runs the world here, and also Amber, who's our phone screener. And so every Thursday, they do trivia at this bar in Midtown. And a thing about me is if I'm going to Midtown, like, I need 3 to 4 business days to emotionally prepare for the traffic. I need to scope out the parking situation. I need time to shout. It's a whole thing. Going down to Midtown's a big deal, even though I don't live that far from it. It just feels like you're crossing an ocean to get this part of town. So I typically skip out because, you know, you got to be up at 4:30, 5 a.m. to chat on the radio. So going out to a bar the night before work, not exactly the most appealing situation for me, but I do harbor some guilt over it because, you know, they're my friends and I want to hang out with them. So we're hanging out in the studio doing our jobs a couple of days before trivia, and Jackson, who does something in the back rooms, says that he's bringing a man that he wants to set me up with to trivia. And I'm like, first of all, this feels like this could have been a conversation before we were doing our jobs. Felt like this could have been a text, but whatever. Second of all, I'm like, okay, well, if there's a reason that could potentially lead to some good on-air content or maybe a boyfriend, I'm interested. So he prefaced who this man was. I wasn't really feeling it because I already knew that he was trying to set me up with this guy like previously, like a year or two before he mentioned him, and I saw him on Hinge and I liked him on Hinge and didn't like me back. So I was like, I don't really want to date this man. So anyway, trivia comes around and the plan is to still go out. Apparently they're still bringing this man, and I'm like,
you sound thrilled.
I'll show
still
up.
Still bringing him.
Still bringing this dude who's not interested in me, but Jackson's like chatting me up, being like, you're so excited. You can't wait to meet you. I think you guys are going to get along great. Just go out with him once and just meet him. I'm like, okay, I will go. I'm already stressed out about it because I'm like, got to go to Midtown. And I need to clean my apartment because I'm going to Jacksonville. So I've got a lot of stuff on my mind. I'm not really in the mood to be social. I'm not in my sexiest state of mind, but I go nonetheless. I shower. I put on a hat. Put on a sweatshirt.
you really put a ton of effort into
put on my Brooks running shoes. I'm looking like the epitome of sex appeal.
Put it on.
But here's the thing, like, it's trivia night at a bar. Like, you shouldn't have to get all dolled up.
Yeah, it's a dive bar. So Rebecca, she was so kind. She picked me up and promised to park for me so I wouldn't have to deal with that. The parking situation stressed me out. I'm like, I gotta know, do I need to parallel park? Do I need to pay for parking? parking? Do I need to, like, it's just a whole thing.
Do you do what I do? Do you look, do you go to Google Maps and look it up to see like what kind of the parking, like what the parking situation is going to be? Because I hate going to places I've never been and I don't know what the parking situation is.
Oh, I hate it. Specifically.
Look up parking before you go.
That's what happens when you have a car, Mo.
I've had a car for 15 years. When are y'all going to get this?
You know, and it's always when somebody invites you out to coffee. I don't know why coffee shops are always the places with the worst parking. Anyway, so I roll up to the bar. I'm ready for trivia. I'm sitting down. We order some nachos.
Ooh, really quick. Have you ever gone somewhere, couldn't find a parking spot, and you just left?
Oh, my God. You know, I just did that at a Sweet Peach. Did you? So you endorse Sweet Peach, and they were kind enough to gift me free laser hair removal. And on Thursday, a couple weeks ago, I was panicking because I couldn't find parking. Because if you drive by it, it looks like they only have one parking spot, and the one parking spot was full, and all of street parking was full. So I literally called them. I'm getting there. So I drive to a parking garage that's down the street. It's probably a 20-minute walk. So I'm like, I'm going to be late. So I go to the parking garage and I can't find my credit cards. I'm like, shoot, now I can't pay for parking. And I call up Sweet Peach and I go, yeah, I'm going to have to cancel. I can't find parking. And they're like, you know, we have a parking lot behind our building, but you can't see it. Like, it's hidden. You wouldn't know it unless someone gave you the heads up that there was a parking lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like huge, but yeah, no, they definitely have a good like 6-7 spaces right there behind the building.
It's a reasonable amount. And I was like, okay. I was like, I'll see y'all in 5. And then I got my coochie lasered. Anyway.
Okay. Nice.
So back to this date. So now I'm sitting there, I'm eating some nachos, I'm hanging out with the youth group and we're chit-chatting. And I'm thinking about all the things I got to do. And I'm thinking about this man coming in. And all of a sudden Jackson gets there with his girlfriend. And I look at him and I go, where's my date? And he goes, oh, yeah, he's not coming. And I'm like, just stressed myself. My cortisol spiked for nothing. But we did win trivia that night, so I kind of feel like a win is a win.
Why he didn't come? He heard you were coming?
Yeah, I think so. I told you, this man is not interested in me.
No, timeout. Why did he not come?
I don't know. Ask Jackson.
Jackson. Nah. Where is Jackson?
You ain't hold Jackson accountable for this?
Isn't that so rude?
Yeah, he practically made you go.
And you know what's even meaner? So Jackson, he's there and he's getting drinks for everybody. He goes, Abby, what do you want to drink? I'll get you a drink. And I go, oh, can you get me a Coke Zero? Comes back empty-handed. Doesn't even get me a Coke Zero. Dude, wow. I was thirsty in both ways. I was parched that night.
How can you sit here and dangle the carrot of a man and then show up empty-handed?
There was no carrot dangling, Kristen.
I texted her hours before and I said, would you be upset if he didn't show up tonight? Something has come up. And what was your response? Not even a little bit. Oh, won't be upset at all.
Just conveniently left that entire part out, did you?
Interesting.
You didn't text me that.
I absolutely did. I have receipts for this. And
text messages save, Abby.
It also worked out perfectly because Abby was not in a laugh, ha ha, fun trivia mood the entire time. She was completely reserved to herself the entire time. And I kept on trying to bring her into conversation because everyone was kind of paired up a little bit. So I was doing my best, but I could tell that something was going on. So then the next morning I was like, you had zero fun at trivia last night, didn't you? And she said, nope, not even a little bit of fun.
She got stood up. Of course she didn't have fun. And you forgot her Coke Zero. What came up? Another date?
No, not another not another date.
And this, a date with his right hand.
This whole thing turned into a much bigger like plan than I had anticipated as well. Like with trivia, you can kind of only have a maximum amount of people that can sit at one of these booths or one of these tables. And so all of a sudden I'm getting texts that like Rebecca's bringing a friend and Mikey's not just bringing his girlfriend, but his sister and her sister's guys are coming as well. So it was already going to be kind of a cluster while we were there.
Wait. Was everybody coupled up but you?
Yeah, it's a wonder why I was in a bad mood.
No.
So wait, it's you and your girlfriend.
Yes.
Rebecca and her friend.
And her friend.
And Mikey and his girlfriend, and then his sister and her boyfriend, and then just me in the middle.
But her boyfriend didn't show up until an hour in.
And you text her all of this beforehand, right? Yes.
I let her know everything.
So you were not stood up.
That's a lie.
Then why did you go?
No. You said, what would you be upset if he didn't come? You didn't say he wasn't coming. You said, would you be upset if he didn't come? And I said no, because it would be factual, because I'm going to go hang out with my friends and I'm going to have a good time on a Thursday.
That is a weird way to word Jackson, that he's not coming.
Yeah, you could have said he's not coming. And then I would have been like, okay.
Instead of it being like, would you be bummed if he was a no-show?
I think that's fine.
This to me sounds like whatever he had going on could have been canceled. So if Abby's like, yeah, I cleared my night for this, then you, Jackson, would have reported to your dude and been like, yo, you gotta come tonight.
So I agree with you in that sense, but here's the exact text that says, are you gonna be pissed if he can't come? LOL. And she goes, no, I don't give a F.
Oh, come on, man.
Come on. I can't be the bad guy here.
I got you, bro. Thank you.
What am I supposed to be like, wah, this man who's already rejected me twice doesn't want to come?
I mean, maybe just like, well, I'm coming and like, I don't know how many times I'm going to do this, so it would be really nice for me to see him. And then I would have been like, boom, okay, I'll make a harder play for him to come.
Why could he not come?
He had some other plan. I don't know.
With another girl?
No, not with another girl.
Irrelevant.
Okay. You're not in the wrong. You will never meet this guy again, Abby, because he did not make time for you. Like, he's done. He is done.
Done.
You're lost.
Two stripes. No.
He's really still had plans.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.